are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the Visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the 4-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ our Lord and Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day 36, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 1, the section pertaining to the Most Holy Incarnation. Today, we'll be reading number 9, The Adoration of the Shepherds, Devout Visits to the Crib. 9. In the early dawn after the birth of Jesus, the three oldest of the shepherds came to the crib cave with the gifts they had gathered together. These consisted of little animals bearing some resemblance to deer. They were very lightly built and nimble, had long necks and clear, beautiful eyes. They followed or ran along beside the shepherds, who led them with fine guiding cords. The shepherds carried also large live birds under their arms and dead ones slung over their shoulders. They told Joseph at the entrance of the cave what the angel had announced to them, and that they had come to do homage to the child of promise and to offer him gifts. Joseph accepted their presents and allowed them to lead the animals into the space that formed a kind of cellar near the side entrance of the cave. Then he conducted them to the Blessed Virgin, who was sitting on the ground near the crib, a rug under her, the infant Jesus on her lap. The shepherds, their staves resting on their arms, fell on their knees and wept with joy. They knelt long, testing great interior sweetness, and then intoned the angelic canticle of praise and a psalm that I have forgotten. When they were about to take leave, Mary placed the child in their arms. Some of the other shepherds came in the evening, accompanied by women and children, and bringing gifts. They sang most sweetly before the crib the Gloria, some psalms, and short refrains, of which I remember the words, O Christ, blooming as a rose art thou, as a herald thou comest forth. They brought gifts of birds, eggs, honey, woven stuffs of various colors, bundles of raw silk, and ears of corn. Also, several bundles of corn with heavy grains growing on a stalk with large leaves of those of rushes. As I turn the page, there is a map, and the map is of the Cave of the Nativity in Bethlehem. The following caption is underneath it. The site of the Nativity is attested to by an unbroken tradition dating back to the 2nd century. This plan is a suggested reconstruction of the original arrangement based on the description in the life of Mary and the present form of the cave's shaded areas. During the centuries, there have been many additions and enlargements. Sister Emmerich stated that new grottos were cut in the rock, even during the lifetime of our Lord. The basilica erected by Constantine over the cave in the 4th century and still in use is one of the oldest Christian churches in the world. We now continue our reading. The three oldest shepherds came back in turn and helped Joseph to make the crib cave and its surroundings more comfortable. I saw also several pious women with the Blessed Virgin, performing some services for her. They were Essenians, and lived in the valley not far from the Crib Cave, in little rocky cells adjoining one another. They owned little gardens near their cells, and they taught the children of their community. Saint Joseph had invited them to come, for he was acquainted with them, even in early youth, when he was hiding in the Crib Cave from his brethren. He visited these pious women who dwelt in the side of the rock. They now came in turn to the Blessed Virgin, bringing little necessaries and bundles of wood. They cooked and washed for the Holy Family. Some days after the birth of Jesus, I saw a touching scene in the Crib Cave. Joseph and Mary were standing by the crib and gazing with emotion upon the infant Jesus, when suddenly the ass fell upon its knees and lowered its head to the ground. Mary and Joseph shed tears. I saw Mary at another time standing by the crib. As she gazed upon the child, the deep conviction stole upon her that it had come upon earth to suffer. That reminded me of a vision I had at an earlier period, in which I had been shown how Jesus, while still in his mother's womb, and from the moment of his birth, had suffered. I saw, under the heart of Mary, a glory, and in it a bright shining child. As I gazed upon it, it seemed as if Mary were hovering over it and surrounding it. I beheld the child growing and all the torments of the crucifixion inflicted upon it. It was a sad, a fearful sight. I wept and sobbed aloud. I saw other forms around it, beating and pushing, scourging and crowning it. Then they laid the cross upon it. Next, nailed it to the same and pierced it in the side. I saw the whole passion of Christ in the child. It was a frightful sight. As the child hung upon the cross, it said to me, "All this did I suffer from my conception until my 34th year, when my passion was outwardly consummated." The Lord died when he was 33 years and 3 months old. Go and announce it to men. But how can I announce it to men? I saw Jesus also as the newborn child, and I saw how many of the children that went into the crib ill-treated the infant Jesus. The Mother of God was not there to protect the child, and the children went with all kinds of switches and rods and struck it in the face until the blood flowed. The child meekly extended its little hands before its face in order to ward off the blows. The smallest children were they that struck the most maliciously. The parents of some even twisted and wrapped the rods for them. They brought thorns, nettles, whips, little rods of all kinds, each having its own signification. One came with a very slender rod, like a reed. But when it was about to strike the child, the rod snapped and fell back upon itself. I knew several of the children. Some went about boasting in their fine clothes, but I stripped them and whipped some of them well. While Mary was still standing by the crib in deep meditation, some shepherds drew near with their wives, in all about 5 persons. To give them room to approach the crib, the Blessed Virgin withdrew a little to the spot upon which she had given birth to the child. The people did not actually adore, but they gazed down upon the child, deeply moved, and before leaving, they bowed low over it, as if kissing it. It was day. Mary sat in her usual place with the infant Jesus on her lap. He was swathed, the hands and face alone free. Mary had something like a piece of linen in her hands with which she was busied. Joseph was at the fireplace near the entrance of the cave, and appeared to be making a shelf to hold some vessels. I was standing next the ass, and now came in 3 aged female Essenians, who were cordially welcomed, though Mary did not rise. They brought quite a number of presents, small fruits, birds with red, all shaped beaks as large as ducks, which they carried by the wings, oval rolls about an inch in thickness, some linen, and other stuff. All were received with rare humility and gratitude. The women were very silent and recollected. Deeply moved, they gazed down upon the child, but they did not touch it. When they withdrew, it was without farewells or ceremony. Meanwhile, I was taking a good look at the ass. It had a very broad back, and I thought to myself, "You good beast, you have carried a great burden," and I wanted to feel it to see if it were real. I ran my hand over its hair, and it felt as smooth as silk. Now came two married women with three little girls, about 8 years old. They appeared to be strangers and people of distinction who had come in obedience to a call more miraculous than they received by any previous visitor. Joseph welcomed them very humbly. They brought presents less in size than the others, but of greater value, grain in a bowl, small fruits, and a cluster of thick, triangular gold leaves, on which was a stamp like a seal. I thought, strange, that looks like the representation of the eye of God, but no, how can I compare the eye of God with red earth? Mary arose and placed the child in the lady's arms. Both held him a little while, praying silently with uplifted heart, and then kissed him. The three little girls were silent and deeply impressed. Joseph and Mary conversed with their visitors, and when they left, Joseph accompanied them part of the way. Ah, could we, like these women, behold the beauty, the purity, the innocent wisdom of Mary? She knew all things, but in her humility she appears unconscious of her gifts. Like a child, she casts down her eyes, and when she raises them, her glance, like a flash of lightning, like the truth, like a ray of unsullied light, pierces one through and through. That is because she is perfectly pure, perfectly innocent, full of the Holy Ghost, and without any reflection on self. No one can resist her glance. These people appear to have come at least some miles, and that secretly, for they avoided being seen in the city. Joseph behaved with great humility during such visits, retiring and looking on from some distant corner. I saw also Anne's maid and an old manservant coming from Nazareth to the crib. The maid was a widow and related to the Holy Family. She brought all sorts of necessaries from Anne to Mary, with whom she took up her abode. The old man shed tears of joy and returned with news to Anne. The day after I saw the Blessed Virgin and the infant Jesus leave the crib cave with the maid for some hours, stepping from the door of the cave, Mary turned toward the shed of the right, went some steps forward and concealed herself in that side cave in which, at the birth of Jesus, a spring had welled up. She remained there 4 hours, because some men spies of Herod had come from Bethlehem, in consequence of the rumor set afloat by the words of the shepherds that a miracle had taken place in connection with the crib. These men met Saint Joseph in front of the crib cave. After exchanging a few words with him, they left him with a contemptuous smile at his humility and simplicity. The crib cave was retired and very pleasantly situated. No one from Bethlehem went there, only the shepherds whose duties called from thither. No one in Bethlehem took any interest in what was going on outside, for, in consequence of the influx of strangers, the city was all alive, and much buying and selling going on. Cattle was being bought and slaughtered, for many people paid their taxes in cattle. There were numbers of pagans in the city, in the capacity of servants. The wonderful apparition of the angels was soon noised among the dwellers of the mountain valleys, far and near, and with it the birth of the child in the cave. The innkeepers, from whom the Holy Family on their journey had received hospitality, now came one after another to do homage to him, whom unknown they had entertained. I saw that hospitable keeper of the last inn, first sending presents by a servant and then coming himself to honor the child. I saw also the good wife of that man who had been so cross to Joseph and other shepherds and good people coming to the crib. They were very much affected by what they saw. All were in holiday attire and were going up to Bethlehem for the Sabbath. The good wife might have gone to Jerusalem, which was near, but she preferred coming here to Bethlehem. A relative of Joseph and father of that Jonadab, who at the crucifixion of Jesus presented a strip of linen to him, had also come to the cave on his way to Bethlehem for the Sabbath. Joseph was very kind to him. This relative had heard from people of his place of Joseph's wonderful situation. He came, therefore, to bring him gifts and to visit the infant Jesus and Mary. But Joseph would not accept anything, although he pawned the little she-ass to this relative in the understanding that she might be redeemed for the same amount of money received. After that, Mary, Joseph the maid, and two of the shepherds, who were standing in front of the entrance, celebrated the Sabbath in the crib cave. A lamp with 7 wicks were lighted, and upon a small table covered with white and red lay the prayer rolls. The numerous end tables presented by the shepherds were either given to the poor or handed around for the entertainment of others. The birds were hung on a spit before the fire, turned from time to time and sprinkled with the flower of a reed-like plant, which was very plentiful around the area of Bethlehem and Hebron. From its grain, a shining white jelly was prepared, and cakes baked. I saw under the fireplace very hot and clean holes in which birds could be roasted. After the Sabbath, the Assyrian women got a meal ready under the arbors, which Joseph, with the help of the shepherds, had put up at the entrance of the cave. Joseph went into the city to engage priests for the circumcision of the child. The cave was cleared and put in order. The partition that Joseph had put up in the passage was removed, and the ground spread with carpets far in this passage near the crib cave. The place for the ceremony was prepared. This concludes our reading of section 9, the visit of shepherds, and now begins our reflection upon what we've just listened to, what we have just heard. Jesus has many different names. The book of Isaiah, you know, they call him Wonderful Counselor, God Hero, Prince Forever. Well, one of the names we hear today, they came to do homage to the Child of Promise, the one that God promised to send of old, arrives in the birth of Jesus. People now becoming aware of this reality, coming to see the Child of Promise. And Catherine Emmerich, as she's taking this in, so she's seeing these events unfold, and she says, they intoned a canticle of praise and a psalm that I have forgotten. So the great honesty, wouldn't it be nice to know what psalm that was? You know, we could go through the psalms or maybe think about the psalms that are sung during the Christmas season, and maybe that's the psalm that is being sung by these individuals. But the great knowledge of Scripture, the praying of sacred Scripture, that's what, when we read the psalm, we are praying the psalm, we're praying a prayer to God. How beautiful. They sang most sweetly before the crib the Gloria, some psalms, and a short refrain of which I remember the words. This time she remembers. O child, blooming as a rose art thou, as a herald thou comest forth. Maybe as we hear those words, we think of that song, lo, how a rose are blooming. And maybe we begin thinking, oh, that Christmas song that we sing now has some semblance to something that Anne Catherine Emmerich saw in her vision as the adoration of the Christ child was taking place. Anne Catherine Emmerich goes on to relate this marvelous scene. Some days after the birth of Jesus, I saw a touching scene in the crib cave. Joseph and Mary were standing by the crib and gazing with emotion upon the infant Jesus, when suddenly the ass fell upon its knees and lowered its head to the ground. Mary and Joseph shed tears. A beautiful little story, just telling us how the animals of creation are worshiping God, that they have this innate knowledge of who this child is that is in the crib cave, and that this donkey is bending its knee because the donkey knows who it is serving, Christ the Lord. And Catherine Emmerich then goes on to share about how she had this vision of the passion of the Christ child, the suffering and death of the child, and already kind of being given the foresight of the crucifixion of what is awaited, what is to come. Here's another powerful line. While Mary was still standing by the crib in deep meditation, some shepherds drew near with their wives, in all about 5 persons, to give them room to approach the crib. The Blessed Virgin withdrew a little to the spot. But Mary, standing by the crib in deep meditation, Mary standing, looking down, seeing this child of promise, in deep meditation. Oh, how I wonder what she was mulling over, what she was meditating upon, what God was doing in her mind and in her heart as she adored the Christ child. And how we wish that we could have such similar devotion ourselves. We want to have deep meditation. As it goes on, we just hear about the different acts of reverence that people do. They pray silently with uplifted heart, and then they kiss the Christ child. We hear a beautiful description about Our Lady. She knew all things. So that song so many people like to sing, Mary, did you know? Well, Anne Catherine Emmerich has answered that question for us. She knew all things. A very powerful, impactful line there. And then St. Joseph, having an exchange with the spies that had come from Herod. After exchanging a few words with him, they left him with a contemptuous smile at his humility and simplicity. So, we're getting to know and understand. We knew these things about St. Joseph, but being reinforced by the reading that we have. The shepherds and the good people coming to the crib, it says they were very much affected by what they saw. That just seeing the Christ child, it was changing their lives. Well, translate that into the life of us as Christians in the church today. If they were very much affected by what they saw, how much more affected must we be when we spend time in the church in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, when we receive Him in Holy Communion, when we adore Him in the monstrance? We should be affected by what we see, by what we worship, by what we experience, just as these people were at the novelty of God being born and being placed in a crib. One last thing, and we heard it earlier on. I thought I made a little note, but I must have glossed over it. But it said that when they would come, Mary would hand the Christ child to them. They would pick up and hold the Christ child. Maybe that's something you want to do in your prayer today. To receive from Mary the infant Jesus, just to behold the face of this little infant God. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.